us morning to Genesis chapter 41. Genesis chapter 41. This chapter records the dreams of Pharaoh and how Joseph, the Lord's child and servant, was called upon to interpret the dream. And that was the unveiling of Joseph to Pharaoh and also his ministry as the prime minister of Egypt. Genesis chapter 41. So I read from verse 1 to 8, and then a few other verses in this chapter. And it came to pass at the end of 2 full years that Pharaoh dreamed. And behold, he stood by the river. And behold, there came up out of the river 7 well-favored kine, cow. And fat-fleshed, and they fed in a meadow. And behold, 7 other kine came up after them out of the river, ill-favored and lean-fleshed, and stood by the other kine upon the brink of the river. And the ill-favored and lean-fleshed kine did eat up the 7 well-favored and fat kine. So Pharaoh awoke. And he slept and dreamed the second time, and behold, 7 ears of corn came up, and one stalk, rank and good. And behold, 7 thin ears blasted with the east wind sprang up after them, and the 7 thin ears devoured the 7 rank and full ears. And Pharaoh awoke, and behold, it was a dream. And I'll move to verse 14. Then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him hastily out of the dungeon, the prison, and he shaved himself and changed his raiment, his dressing, and came in unto Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I have dreamed a dream, and there is one that can interpret it. There is none that can interpret it. And I have heard say of thee that thou canst understand dream to interpret it. And Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, it is not in me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. And I will read verse 25. And Joseph said unto Pharaoh, the dream of Pharaoh is one. God hath showed Pharaoh what he is about to do. The 7 good kine are 7 years, and the 7 good ears are 7 years. The dream is one. And the 7 thin and ill-favored kine that came up after them are 7 years, and the 7 empty ears blasted with the east wind shall be 7 years of famine. This is the thing which I have spoken unto Pharaoh. What God is about to do, he showeth unto Pharaoh. Behold, there come 7 years of great plenty throughout all the land of Egypt, and there shall arise after them 7 years of famine, and all the plenty shall be forgotten in the land of Egypt, and the famine shall consume the land. And the plenty shall not be known in the land by reason of the famine following, for it shall be very grievous. And for the dream was doubled unto Pharaoh twice, it is because the thing is established by God, and God will shortly bring it to pass. Now therefore let Pharaoh look out a man discreet and wise, and set him over the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh do this, and let him appoint officers over the land, and take up the 5th part of the land of Egypt in the 7 plenteous years. and let them gather all the food of those good years that come, and lay up corn under the hand of Pharaoh, and let them keep food in the cities. And that food shall be a forestall to the land against the 7 years of famine, which shall be in the land of Egypt, that the land perish not through the famine. And the thing was good in the eyes of Pharaoh, and in the eyes of all his servants. Friends, the title I have given to our message this morning is Season Opportunities. Season Opportunities. And you can see it's very evident here in the text that we've just read in Genesis chapter 1, how Pharaoh, in great need of interpreting a dream that he had dreamt, having no one in his court, was told of one Joseph. And he called Joseph, and we're told that Joseph both interpreted the dream and gave him a suggestion as to how to remedy the impending disaster. And the Bible tells us that the suggestion was good in Pharaoh's eyes, and he seized upon it. And so the title, Season Opportunities, is apt as we look to draw parallels for us in our own lives in the light of God's word, the gospel, that we are all sinners in danger of God's impending judgment. Are we prepared? Have we embraced God's only provision, the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, wherein we can have pardon, forgiveness, to face this imminent, inevitable judgment to come against our many sins and our offense against a holy God? Are we willing to seize that opportunity? Friends, how troubled are you of your sin this morning? How troubled are you about facing God in this inescapable judgment? How willing are you to make use of the only provision for deliverance, pardon, through Jesus Christ, our Lord? Well, we hope that following the message this morning, the Lord, by his grace, will help you to see your predicament, your need, and how urgent it is, and how you could come to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, this message or the account of Joseph's life is very well known. And we know that he was sold into slavery by his brethren. And following a number of events in his life, he landed in prison. In the course of his prison life, we're told that he met two servants of Pharaoh, one whom both he helped to interpret the dream. And he asked one to remember him before Pharaoh when he escapes prison. And this person, the butler of Pharaoh, forgot about Joseph for 2 full years, the word of God tells us, until Pharaoh dreamed. And he happened to be, as it were, reminded that there was a man in prison who can explain or interpret dreams. And so we're told also by the word of God that Joseph had some childhood dreams of importance where the Lord will elevate him above his brethren and his family. This is also at the background of this particular narrative. And also we also know this dream of Pharaoh, which we just read. Now, you might perhaps, maybe by as an aside, might be wondering, does God still use dreams? No, we do not believe, or our doctrine is that the Word of God is the only and ultimate source for God to reveal his will to us in life. And dreams certainly was used by the Lord God as part of the process of inscripturation of the Word of God in the past, in the Old Testament, even in the New Testament. But now the Lord's Word is full, and it is the sole authority and guidance for us in everything in life, in salvation and in the Christian life. Well, first of all, the dream and its meaning. Why? What are the key points in this event, friends, in this dream? We're told the first dream that there were seven cows or kine, Genesis 41:2-4. Now, this cow, we're told, fat-fleshed. The word fat-fleshed, the Hebrew word fat-fleshed, means beautiful, beautiful body. And we're told that this fat-fleshed cows were eaten up. The word eaten up means devoured. Devoured by seven ill-favored. And the word ill-favored means bad. These were bad-looking cows. And they were lean-fleshed. The word lean-fleshed means thin, small, crushed. These fat-fleshed cows were devoured, eaten up by these lean-fleshed cows. And if you read further in this chapter, we're told that even Pharaoh was so shocked that even after the lean-fleshed cows had eaten the fat-fleshed cows, they were still not showing any signs of what? Of a bloated stomach or fatness. And so he was horrified. Now, I'm only stressing this, friends, because this gives us an insight into the depth of the problem which Pharaoh faced, that this was a serious matter. It was not one to be joked with. The situation was very, very stark. And no doubt, we read further that Pharaoh, after the dreams, was troubled. And then the second dream, we're told that there were seven rank, and the Hebrew word rank means plump, fed, and good multitude of what? Ears on the corn. They were devoured, again swallowed up, by seven thin, crushed, crumbled, and blasted or scorched corns, ears. Now, friends, Pharaoh, we're told, was troubled in his spirit. He was agitated. He was beaten regularly by the dream. He was troubled. He was unsettled. And he asked his magicians, who knows the answer to this dream? We're told that none in his court understood the dream. But Pharaoh was told of Joseph, the Lord's servant Joseph, and we're told that Joseph was brought out, and he came before Pharaoh, and Pharaoh says, I've heard that you can interpret dreams. And he said, it is not in me. God shall give an answer to Pharaoh. Now, we read very well the answer to those dreams. We read how Joseph told Pharaoh that the dreams were one. They had one meaning. The 7 years of plenty, which was aligned to the seven fat and seven, both the seven fat cows and the seven fat corns. The meaning of those fat corns and fat cows was that there will be 7 years of what? Plenty of food. Followed by the seven lean flesh cows, which, and also the blasted corn, which meant that there will be 7 years of what? Famine following that. And we're told that Joseph mentioned to Pharaoh that the famine will be so great that even the years of plenty will be forgotten as well. It says the famine will be very grievous, exceeding, will be severe, and the plenty shall be forgotten. We read in Genesis 41:29-39. And Joseph also told Pharaoh that this dream was certain. Genesis 41, verse 32, the dream was certain. It was certain. Now, what we're trying to do here is to identify the key points of this dream, of this Old Testament account. That the situation was very troubling. By the sheer details given in the dream. And that it was certain, hence the dream was doubled. But the Lord God, to Joseph, he did what? He gave an answer, a way of remedy to Pharaoh. The Lord God provided a deliverance from the famine. And that was also a point here to note. The other point to note is Pharaoh's response. We're told that Pharaoh and his court were pleased by Joseph, or with Joseph's answer. Friends, herein lie these key points here in this Old Testament account that will do us so much well for us to learn from as we seek to face this imminent judgment that we all must face in the way we have lived our lives. Pharaoh was troubled by the dream. Are we troubled by our sins? Are we troubled by our state of heart before God? Pharaoh urgently sought help. Are we urgently seeking help? A few weeks ago, I met a brother. Dare I say a brother? But he said that he cannot be certain that he's a Christian because he continues to hold on to a very, very, very dear sin. And this brother is known to us for about a good 10 years or so. And he comes to church. He's very, very lovely, very pleasant. But the way in which he said it, I was burdened to show him the seriousness which God attaches to sin. I had told him of the way the Lord God dealt with Sodom and Gomorrah. There you see the Lord God who had for many years allowed a city time of repentance, but they did not. I also told this brother to think of Calvary. See there, Calvary, where God the Father was crushing his son. And you and I, friends, cannot even dare have a fraction of the death of suffering which our Lord Jesus Christ endured. Not the physical sufferings, friends, the invisible one, which his father was crushing him for the sins of all those whom he would forgive. Now, Henry, you see the seriousness in which God attaches to sin and the way he punishes sin. We cannot dare delay to seek refuge in Christ Jesus now, today. You cannot allow a day to go by without earnestly seeking forgiveness. And so we're trying to identify the way that Pharaoh responded to Joseph's interpretation of this dream. Pharaoh was troubled. Are we troubled, friends? He was urgent in seeking help. Are we urgent in seeking help? For pardon, forgiveness for our sins. So how do we compare, friends, with this? Well, friends, the problem of our sin is very worrying. The Lord God says that sin would never go unpunished, and that we face endless years, days in hell. And herein lies the problem that we all face. And no one here, friends, can say that they have not broken God's law. What is our state of heart today? From the very little child, we lie, we're proud. We spend so much time and energy upon ourselves compared to the time that we spend in prayer with the Lord God. And so here, we are all guilty before God. Our state of heart and our sin problem is like those blasted ears of corn, withered. We are like those lean flesh cows. And that is how our offense is like before the Lord God. It is very troubling. Are we troubled, friends? Are we troubled? And then as Joseph told Pharaoh, this famine, signified by this lean flesh cows and this blasted corns, ears of corn, is imminent. The famine is imminent. Why? The Lord God has doubled the stream. And we know judgment to be imminent, and also judgment for our sins. By the very account we have in the Bible, how the Lord God fulfilled his word, how we see prophecy in the Lord Jesus Christ, where he tells us in even Matthew chapter 24, verse 37, that he is coming back to bring judgment. It is imminent. The Lord God cannot lie. He is true to his word. You see, if you are a historian and you read the Second World War and Hitler and his close inner circle, as they imminently face the Red Army coming, they did not want to fall into their hands. And they, most of them, took their own lives. To escape perhaps the treatment that the Allied or the perhaps maybe the Soviet or the Red Army would do to them. But friends, unlike their escaping from perhaps that possible violent treatment which they would have suffered, there is no way escape to us. We have to face the Lord God. But moving on from perhaps having stressed enough the difficulty or the state of affairs of our heart and the judgment of God, we're told that Joseph gave a remedy. He gave a remedy. And what was it? He suggested to Pharaoh to prepare in the years of plenty. It was through God's wisdom that Joseph gave to Pharaoh. And friends, when we read Genesis 45, verse 5 to 7, when we read even Genesis 41, we're told that Pharaoh gave Joseph a new name. The new name that Pharaoh gave Joseph had a meaning called the salvation of life. The salvation of life. And if we read Genesis 45, 5 to 7, I'll turn to that very quickly. Genesis 45. Now therefore, be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that ye sold me, that ye sold me hither. for God had sent me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years have the famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years in the which there shall neither be hearing nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. Herein lies the mercy of God, the provision of God to escape this famine. To escape this famine. And we have a Joseph in the Lord Jesus Christ, friends. A Joseph in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was willing to endure the sufferings that good might come. He was willing to come into our world to endure the contradiction of sin to his holy soul and body, so that he would live a perfect life and freely give it to you and I as if we have lived it. He was willing to endure the suffering on the cross of Calvary, the ignominy, the way that he was subject to, but even beyond the physical sufferings, he was willing to endure that eternal suffering that we cannot comprehend from his Father for all the sins that all those whom he would forgive would have suffered. And this, friends, is this parallel provision Joseph made in the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ is the answer. It is he who has come to yield his own life, to live a perfect life, and to suffer for our sins, if we would repent and trust in him. And so, for that matter then, we have a Joseph in the Lord Jesus Christ. And by the grace of God, we are able to escape this imminent judgment that we deserve for the sins that we have committed our lives. Well, friends, as I draw to conclusion, are we seizing the opportunity that the Lord gives us to repent and to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, forgiveness of our sins? Are we willing to seize this opportunity? Do we then have a realization of our sin and our guilt before God? Do we realize that there is judgment awaiting if we do not turn to God? Are we troubled by it, friends, like Pharaoh was troubled by the famine announced? And are we prepared to embrace cheerfully and readily and urgently this only way of pardon, this only way of escape, the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ? You don't have to do anything, friends. All that you need to do is repent. Say, Lord, I own my sin. I see my guilt. I see that I am the person who day in and day out have lived this life of lies, perhaps of hatred, of pride, of ingratitude to thee, the God who has given me life and air to breathe, plenty in this world, and but have spent all my years away from you. Lord, I own my sins. I see my offense. I see my guilt before you. Lord, I come humbly to repent. I realize that, Lord, if I do not come, there is judgment coming soon. It may be that Christ will come today, tomorrow. It may be that I would even die. I don't know when judgment would come, and I would, that opportunity would have lost, so to speak. So, Lord, I come to embrace my sin, to own my sins, and troubled by it, and urgently I flee to you in Jesus Christ, trusting in him, his death on the cross, and his perfect life that he has lived for me. May the Lord help us all to seize this glorious opportunity in the Lord Jesus Christ through this glorious account in the Old Testament. Okay. We would. We will sing our last hymn. Our last hymn, hymn number.